This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And this is your science fiction and fantasy podcast, where we talk about all the latest and greatest in the news and the genre world, talk about the stuff you guys are discussing over on the forums, and discuss our monthly book picks.
And in fact, we just had a great thread in the forums about what you like and what you don't like about the audio podcast. So we decided, after a lot of consultation, to continue to do more of the things you like and less of the things you don't like.
Yes. I think that sounds about right. You guys definitely want more book talking.
Yep.
More talking about the book. So I understand that situation, and we will make an effort to discuss the books more in depth here on the audio show, because we've been doing a lot of that on the video show. But I think it's time to bring it back to the audio show as well.
And it seems like people like the informality of the audio podcast. So we'll keep What Are We Drinking?
The informality / drunkenness, depending.
But that's maybe on. Is that what they're saying?
Or
are they
don't
just
know.
Being polite?
They definitely like me being drunk on vaginal fantasy. So
yeah,
Maybe I should bring that to all of my shows.
Yeah, it could be your thing.
It could be
like the Dean Martin of podcasting.
Well, I already told you that my mom actually he was a teetotaler.
Well,
Dean Martin was not a drinker.
I didn't mean to kind of fully unmask the fact that you never drank, but there you go.
It was a very clever metaphor or analogy. I don't know. Example.
Analogy? Probably
example?
Analogy.
Example.
Right.
I'll stick with example. What are you drinking tonight, Tom?
I am having a lovely wine. It's a 2009 Cantina del Grifone, 1967 Toscana. Now, 1967 is the brand. I don't know how they get away with that in the wine world, but it's a 2009 wine, but it's called 1967, so it's not from 1967. It's good. It's very full-bodied, fruity, red, luscious, delicious.
Luscious.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm drinking scotch. I'm drinking...
Which kind?
Glenmorangie.
Glenmorangie.
Morangie?
Believe so.
Well, no one corrected me on YouTube after I talked about it.
71%. I may be wrong about that one.
If they didn't correct me, I don't know if you're right, because the internet always corrects me.
Watch me get corrected now.
It's okay. All right. Well, I will go either way. It's fine.
It's one of those alternate things too.
Maybe. But it's delicious. I'm a fan.
Which year?
I don't know. I don't have the bottle.
That's a good solid, like, you're never really going to be disappointed scotch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always going to do you right.
Well, good. It is doing me right now. So that's all I can really ask for. But let's move on to the actual content of the show, known as the Quick Burns.
So book trailers are all the rage. We're going to bookend our quick burns with book trailers. The first one we're going to talk about is one of our favorites, Gail Carriger. And on the video show when we interviewed her, we talked about Etiquette and Espionage coming out. Now the book trailer is up, very much in the style, as you would expect, of Victorian times. Did you watch it?
I did, and I loved it. And I really want to pick up this series. So it's supposed to be like a YA series, but it's Gail Carriger, so it's going to be awesome no matter what. And I'm still...
YA means young adult.
Young adults, yes. I'm sure it's going to have the same kind of, you know, sass and attitude that the Parasol Protectorate had as well.
Well, the trailer certainly has sass and attitude, so that makes sense.
Definitely. Set in the same universe, of course. And I think it's going to be great. I wonder how many, I'm not sure how many books she intends to have it be, but this is the first one of the Finishing School series, and I think you guys should all check it out, no matter if you are a fan of alternate history or a fan of steampunk or a fan of sassy ladies kicking some butt. All of those needs will be met.
Get ready for that jelly. It's coming soon. Go watch the trailer. Another thing I'm a fan of is the table of contents feature on the sfsignal.com website. And George R. R. Martin has posted the table of contents for the upcoming anthology he edited with Gardner DeZoys called Dangerous Women.
And these are my glob. It is looks amazing.
These are all short stories about dangerous women. Mm-hmm. So there's some of them are written by women. Some of them are not. You do have Diana Gabaldon. A story called Virgins is in there. Megan Lindholm has a story called Neighbors in there. But there's also George R. R. Martin, The Princess and the Queen, is in there as well.
Abercrombie.
Yeah.
Jim Butcher. Did you say that? You may have said that. Lev Grossman. You may have
Brandon
said that also.
Sanderson is in there.
Oh, wow. Actually, Diana Gabaldon.
That's the one I did
say. And also Diana Roland.
Oh, Diana Roland's in there.
And S.M. Sterling.
Yep.
And
it's all star
George R. R. Martin. Yeah, it's fantastic. I cannot wait.
Jim Butcher's
for this
got this one called Bombshells.
Yeah, it's some of the ones I know. The Joe Abercrombie.
Lev Grossman.
One.
I didn't know that. The Girl in the Mirror by Lev Grossman. Check that out.
Oh, yeah. I said that. I said Lev Grossman.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now I've done it to you.
Oh, Brandon Sanderson. Neither of us said that. Neither of us said Brandon Sanderson.
I did too. I said Brandon Sanderson.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh crap. Oh, well. Anyway. No matter how many times we say that.
Oh, look, George R. R. Martin.
Wait. Oh, I love George R. R. Martin.
I've heard of him.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so check it out. This is the Dangerous Women anthology. I don't see a release date in this posting here.
I did a little research and I couldn't find one either.
Keep your eyes peeled, though, because it's going to be a doozy.
So Joe Abercrombie's story, Some Desperado, it's set in the Red Country universe, and I'm wondering if it's going to be Shy South's backstory, like a little bit more into her backstory. So maybe that would be cool. I would love to know more of that. Anyway, so I got an email recently from one of the founders of this website. Amazing Stories is actually coming back. Now, you may know Amazing Stories as a magazine, which unfortunately shuttered in 2005, as Cory Doctorow reports over on Boing Boing. But they have brought it back as like a social network, kind of forums, kind of website, this repository for original work and original blog posts from science fiction writers from all sorts of different backgrounds. And did you get your login? Because he sent us logins.
I didn't see the login. Did he send them to our Sword and Laser email addresses?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got to check that out. How did I miss that? It must have got filtered.
But he sent me a login, and I've been browsing around a little bit, and there's some great blog posts on there and some great discussions happening.
60 different authors, editors, artists, and fans. And just, I'm happy to see, even if it's, you know, not a print magazine as it was in 1926, still absolutely love to see this back in print. It was established by Hugo.
Right.
Right? Hugo Gernsback, after whom the Hugo Awards are named.
So there's, let's see, I think you can actually, you can subscribe, you can make, there's different levels of accounts, I think. But it looks amazing, and it's really fun. It's still kind of campy. It's still a little bit on the lo-fi side, but I think it's great. It's just, it's such a classic magazine. I'm glad that they're keeping it alive in this manner.
Now, one thing that's interesting that's out here is not really a book trailer, and it is a little bit in the graphic novel world, but it's Neil Gaiman reading his zombie story, Down Among the Dead Men, which is from Zombie Apocalypse Fight Back, created by Stephen Jones. And it is delivered with illustrations, artwork by Les Edwards. So you can hear Neil Gaiman read the story and then see the graphic part of it play out.
The graphic graphics.
Yeah, it's true, right?
It was great. I listened to this earlier and watched it, and it's a good story. And Neil Gaiman has such a fantastic voice. Like he's done such great like voiceover stuff in the past, and it's totally, you know, it's the accolades are accurate, I guess, because he has a fantastic voice.
It's a pleasure to listen to him read
it. Is.
Something. Yeah, it really is.
Does he ever read his own audiobooks?
It's like a big comfy chair.
I've never listened to any of his audiobooks before, so I don't know if he's the
narrator. Well, I did. I listened to Good Omens, read by Neil Gaiman. But.
No, I have the book. I think I actually read the book for that one. So definitely check this out over on sfsignal.com. And it's also the videos over on YouTube as well. Very cool stuff.
Locus Magazine's February 2013 issue is a consensus by Locus editors and reviewers of a recommended reading list for 2012. Why are you giggling?
I'm giggling because the thing that people complain most about this show is that we give them too many things that they want to read.
Oh, sorry.
And now we are essentially throwing at them a list of like 200, 300 new books, novellas, novels, young adult stuff, science fiction, fantasy, collections. So much stuff by all these amazing authors. And I have read like three of them.
Well, it's funny. When I first clicked on this and was looking through it, I was like, oh, okay. So they got some great science fiction novels. And then I was missing a few titles. I'm like, I wonder why that wasn't in there. And I realized, oh, they broke fantasy out separately. Okay. Oh, okay. So they got some great fantasy novels. Oh, wait, there's young adult. Oh, okay. So they've got three and first novels is broken out separately. Oh, and collections is different from anthologies, original and anthologies reprints is a whole separate list. Oh, and there's a list for nonfiction and a list, and it just keeps going.
I know.
It's intense. To novelettes and short stories. It practically never ends, but also never ending awesome here.
I didn't know there was a difference between novelettes and novellas.
I guess it's a size.
I guess they're different things.
I have read a few of what are considered the best novels, science fiction novels, and fantasy novels.
Well, I know you read Caliban's War, which I haven't gotten to yet.
Very good.
I read
2312.
I haven't read that yet. How do you do this? I've read Red Shirts. That's it. That's it in the science fiction section.
I like the science fiction.
I read Red Country and Fantasy.
I'm reading Red Country, yeah. What else is in here? Oh, my God. There's a bunch that I wanted to read. I wanted to read The Fractal Prince by Hanu Rajaniemi.
And I haven't read... I wanted to read...
The Killing Moon, N.K. Jemisin. I want to read that.
Yeah, The Killing... That was the one I was going to say, yeah.
I read you mind, but I didn't read the book.
Well, because we talked about that show, too.
Yeah.
That didn't help. But the Railsea, I haven't read Railsea. Why is that under young adult? Is that a young adult novel?
Is it really?
I didn't know it was a young adult novel.
The Drowned Cities by Paolo Bacigalupi is...
I would maybe not put that under young adult. Okay, well, they're the experts, I guess. Whatever.
Anyway, good books.
I'm going to add all of these to my to-read list. I'm just going to make a Locus Online to-read list on Goodreads.
Oh, that's
just
smart. Break it out.
Burn
nice.
Through those. That'll take me about an hour. I didn't see... You must have added this after I was looking at the rundown. So there's another book trailer for The Daylight War by Peter Brett.
Yeah, The Daylight War is part of the Demon Cycle series. I think it's the third in the Demon Cycle series. And this trailer is all line art and voiceover, which is fairly typical for book trailers. They don't always go into the full motion acting thing, and sometimes it's better that they don't. This one feels like a movie trailer, even though it's not. It just really like got me excited for Daylight War. And I haven't read the Demon Cycle series, so it actually got me excited to want to like start the Demon Cycle series.
Yeah, I haven't read it either, so I'll watch this video after we finish recording and check it out. But I've heard good things about the series. So that would be fun. I would definitely like to pick that up. When am I supposed to read all these books, by the way?
When we're dead? I don't know.
When we're dead. Awesome.
Hey, you know what we should do? We should give them even more ideas for things to read that are coming out soon.
Let's. On February 5th, of course, we have the Sword and Laser podcast. That's today, so you may get this on the 6th. Etiquette and Espionage, the first book in the Finishing School series by Gail Carriker, comes out on the 5th. A Natural History of Dragons, a memoir by Lady Trent, by Marie Brennan, and Homeland by Cory Doctorow, which I believe he's doing his book tour for that right now.
This Friday, we will publish our author's guide to Brandon Sanderson. We had a great conversation with him about not only Wheel of Time, Robert Jordan filling in what that meant, but also about his own career and his own author's authored novels, mm-hmm. I guess what I'm going to say. February 12th, The Daylight War, Demon Cycle by Peter V. Brett is out. Also, Far Side by Ben Bova, legend. Vampires in the Lemon Grove by Karen Russell.
Ben Bova's and, still alive?
Yeah, I know. And The Best of All Possible Worlds by Karen Lord.
And then on February 15th, we have the Sword and Laser Author's Guide to Trudy Canavan, which I'm very excited about. And then on the 19th, we got another Sword and Laser podcast. We have Elswen's Glass Thorns by Melanie Ron and Trinity Rising by Elspeth Cooper. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. And if that wasn't enough, how about, okay, actually, this is the solution, right? You got all these books you want to read. How are you going to find time to read them? You got other things to do. You can't be sitting looking at pages all the time. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. So you can do other things and still be reading books.
That is how a segue is done. Can we just go back and take a closer look at how I could actually hear the gears turning as the segue machine went into motion. It was like, how am I going to? Oh, I found it. There it goes. It's off. Anyway, go continue, please. I just want people to know that.
So, for instance, one of the ways I was able to plow through a lot of books in the past was driving to work. Mm-hmm. I don't drive to work.
You don't have to do that anymore.
Took away some reading time when I did that. But when I'm unpacking boxes in my new place, when I'm vacuuming, taking the dogs for a walk, going for a jog, all of those are times when I can read audiobooks with my ears. You can have a debate about the word reading later, but it's essentially you're going to get to experience these books from great narrators, and you get to try one for free. If you haven't tried out audible.com, or if you've got a friend who you think would benefit, give them this URL, audiblepodcast.com/sword, and they can get a free 1-credit audiobook. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword. We noticed today Warm Bodies by Isaac Marion is available on Audible, mm-hmm. narrated by Kevin Kennerly. And that movie just came out.
Yeah, my friend Megan, who sees every movie that ever comes out somehow, she saw it and she said it was great. She said she really enjoyed it. It wasn't like it's not like a super deep movie or anything, but it was a lot of fun. And it was better than she expected. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
It's zombies. It's love. Go
check
it out.
What more do you need? What more do you need?
You can get that or any audiobook for free. Audiblepodcast.com/sword. And we thank them for their support of Sword and Laser.
Absolutely. For years, they've been an excellent sponsor.
They're good peeps.
Good peeps over there. So now it is time for Barrier Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. And I wanted to say welcome to our brand new forum mod. We have not added a new forum mod since Becca, of course, came onto the scene. And Josh, our wonderful friend Josh Lawrence, is joining us as a forum mod over on Goodreads in order to help kind of manage the whole situation, you know, make sure things are getting posted when they need to get posted. So he's been a friend of the show for a long time. He, of course, is the creator of our theme song. And so we're just bringing him even more into the fold.
You experience Josh every time you listen to the show.
Yeah, you don't know this. Actually,
now you can experience more.
Thank you to Robert Zach, who actually emailed me and was like, hey, you should probably maybe add another forum mod or two, because here are all the things that you guys have been forgetting to do. And I was like, yeah, you're right. My bad. So thank you, Robert, for the suggestion. I've taken that to heart, and I have employed Josh.
And we may add more. We'll see. But appreciate all the feedback all the time.
Yeah, if you have any interest in being a forum mod, and you can kind of point to your history on the forums in some way, send us an email, feedback@swordandlaser.com. We'll take a look.
And that's where you'll find, at least goodreads.com, is where you'll find discussions like or tips like what Matthew pointed out. Memoirs Found in a Bathtub Kindle Daily Deal was $1.99
today.
Well, was it only today?
I think it was only today.
Oh.
So if you listen to the show late tonight, you might able to get
be just too late
Memoirs in time for $1.99. And this is funny because you guys all know the Lem story, I'm assuming. The whole reason why we say when we lem book, because I could not get through Memoirs Found in a Bathtub when we had it as our book pick in November of 2008.
That seems like it was just yesterday.
2008. Dude, we've been doing this show for a long time.
I know. Pretty awesome.
That's pretty amazing. Like when I saw that, when Matthew posted that, I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. It was like in the first year of the show, like first few months of the show. So that's pretty impressive. We've been lemming things for years now.
I've learned so much since then. Or as Sean puts it, imagine if Tom had chosen the Siberian instead. We'd all be talking about how awesome Lem is.
Or even Solaris.
Yeah, I thought it was Solaris. I thought it was too obvious. If I had to do it over, Solaris would probably be the one I'd choose, because I've learned that being too obvious is a good thing sometimes.
And Timothy says that he bought it on your say-so. So if it's bad, you have to pay him $1.99.
It's not bad. It's all a matter of taste. It's a great book. It's actually one of my favorite books. That's what hurts me so much. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I love that book.
I'm trying not to hurt you. I know it hurts you deep inside. And then we have, speaking of hurting people, violent character names from Noah. So Noah goes on to say, Bridge of Birds contains a character named Cut Off Their Balls Wang, which made me think, of course, of Cut Me Own Throat Dibbler. What kind of reaction do you have when you read a name like this? If you had to choose your own violent and mutilated name, what would you pick? I'm going with Pinch Their Eyelids Sturdivant. Jerome Pinch says Jerome gut them and tear them limb from limb. Christina says Lady Chris hanging by their toenails, Tina. Camille says, Camille makes you regret your ancestors ever humped while hacking your flesh.
I like that one, actually.
Tomahome just says, Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch!
I don't really understand why that is the threatening, scary name.
The Macerator. I like that.
Mapleson the Macerator. What would be your name, Tom?
Already dead before I knew he cut me, Merit.
Okay, I went with Veronica the Eviscerator.
Oh, that's catchier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the...
Yeah, I liked that Noah pointed out the Bloody Nine and Black Dow, by the way.
Sorry.
Don't eviscerate me.
I'm spoiling things in my mind. Oh, crap, I just removed a thread accidentally while I was trying to click on it.
Don't do that!
I got it! This is a thread from Terp Kristen, who writes, Book Blind Date is the subject. Idea seems to be making the rounds this week, but I haven't seen it posted here. Basically, libraries encourage people to try something new by wrapping books in brown paper and suggesting people choose books at random to take home on a blind date. I love this idea personally. I think it'd be even more fun to get a group of people who'd want to do it than do a Secret Santa type thing where everybody gets assigned someone at random to send a book to. But in the spirit of true blind dates, the idea would be that each sender would look at the books that the reader has liked and pulls one off their shelf that they think the reader would enjoy. You know, like setting someone up with a friend.
I think Terp Kristen just perfected this idea. Because my problem is like, okay, if it's wrapped in a brown bag, that's interesting, but what if it's nonfiction or what if it's a self-help book? Like, I like this idea of it's a blind date, but you're being set up by a friend. So you at least know that there's a shot that you're going to like this book. It's going to be in a genre you like or a style you like, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I think it's an amazing idea. I wish that Goodreads could kind of make this happen for us because they have a book swap function. So if you have old books laying around the house and you want to share them with the book reading community, you can post them up on your profile page and people can request them. And then Goodreads will actually pay for the shipping for you to send the book to them. And you can have it be that either they can just keep it forever if you're just like done with it and don't need it to come back to you, or they can send it back to you after a certain amount of time. So I think it's a super great idea. I've sent out like 3 or 4 books that way. I never got them back, but I didn't really want them to come back. And I think it'd be fun if they could do like a Secret Santa style thing like that. Maybe I'll talk to Otis about it because I am an advisor for the site, so it'd be like a feature request.
Yeah, like books, it would basically tie that function into the recommendation engine somehow. Yeah. That'd be cool.
It'd be a great thing to build into the book clubs.
For sure. Let's briefly talk about TV, movies, and video games, which is really just TV, because Wired.com has up another Game of Thrones video showing them using Iceland as the setting for Beyond the Wall and why they're shooting in Iceland. This is probably not the... I've gotten really excited about every one of these. This one's good. It's short. But it's not really going to stoke your fires for Game of Thrones. But it's really interesting to see them in Iceland and showing why they're shooting there.
Hey, you know who's attractive?
What's
David
that?
Benioff.
Really?
Like he could be on the show as like an actor.
I kind
look to him.
I sort of thought that too when they went from actor to actor. It's like, oh, this is the actor with the American accent. Oh no, it's David Benioff. Never mind.
He's a good looking guy. Man, that looks miserable. Shooting there looks miserable.
It honestly looks like they're behind the wall.
It looks like, I mean, how much colder can you get? I mean,
they probably cast real White Walkers.
Yeah. They have those in Iceland, don't they?
I'm sure. How could they not? Look at that place.
I want to go. I thought Greenland was the really cold one and Iceland was the more habitable.
Yes. So imagine what Greenland must be like.
It must be even worse. Jeez. There's David Benioff again.
Oh, sorry. Everyone pause for a moment.
He's got, if you're driving,
pull over to the side of the road.
Sorry.
Wow. Veronica looks like David.
I'm done. Well, I'm excited for the show. I mean, it's coming up. It's coming up pretty fast.
Yeah. March 31st, right?
It's the Is it 3/31/13 or 3/13/13? You're right. I think it's 31.
Yeah.
Let me look at the...
See, the 3-1 thing stuck in my mind, but now I don't
right.
know.
It wouldn't be Wednesday. The 13th is a Wednesday. It's got to be the 31st.
Yep. Baller. Well, let's audio kick off Bridge of Birds by Barry Fogart.
All right. So I have started reading the book. Of course, the one problem with this selection is that it is a little bit harder to find in terms of getting via Kindle or getting overseas or getting in, getting an audiobook, for example.
Yeah. And here's my opinion. And I know Veronica actually differs with me a little on this, but my opinion is we should never, ever consider the availability of a book when we pick it, because books are available. You can get them, unless it was like ultra rare and that's like medieval manuscripts or something. Books are out there, use bookstores. They're more available than ever. Having done book clubs back before ebooks were a thing, mm-hmm. it was much harder to get a hold of a lot of books back then, because even if it was in print, it might not be at your store and you'd have to special order it, et cetera, et cetera. So to my mind, picking the right book is the most important thing. And then it's helping people to find the book. I would hate to restrict us to only books that are available as ebooks and audiobooks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I know that usually they are. I think we're just a little spoiled.
Yeah.
But they usually are.
And we want you to work for it.
See, this is how I differ. I'm just agnostic on that. Veronica actually is asking you.
I'm demanding it of you, really.
Yeah.
So just to recap a little bit, in case you didn't see the video show, Bridge of Birds is the first in the three novels in the Chronicles of Master Lee and Number 10 Ox by Barry Hughart. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. There was some discussion about that on the forums, as there usually is.
And that's actually, just not to interrupt too much, but that's the issue with the ebook, is you can only get all three volumes in one ebook.
Right.
If you want to get the ebook version. So if you look for Bridge of Birds, you're not going to find it. You have to look for Master Lee and Number 10 Ox.
Mm-hmm. Which I did, and I found. And
that's what I'm doing.
I actually have both versions. I have the paperback version of Bridge of Birds, and I have the full version of the Chronicles of Master Lee. I think they both cost the same amount. So
it's actually a better bargain to get the ebook than I guess.
In case you want to keep reading afterwards. So this is a Hughart called the novel a modern version of a classical form of Chinese novel, which was an underground Taoist form designed form designed to fight back against Confucians. Sorry, that's my laundry in the background. That happens sometimes on this show.
Your laundry fights back against Confucians.
Yes. And then the, what was that style? The style of Chinoscura?
Yeah, that one? Sure.
Remember that thing we talked about? Chinoiserie. Thank you.
Chinoiserie?
God, you they're all laughing at me right now.
That's that, worst. You know, this is because they actually requested this when we asked for feedback, is please have Veronica mispronounce more things. So there you go.
Because I do it so hilariously. Is that why? Or is it because?
I think they just love it.
It's clear that I just have no. The problem is I have said this on the show before. I read a lot of things. I don't say a lot of things out loud. Although that, I guess that is kind of my career.
Yeah, it is your job.
It is kind of my job.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I should be better at that.
I... No, sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so the storyline, the basic plot is that Number 10 Ox is a teenager, a youth living in a village, and the children of that village contract an unusual affliction. And so he is tasked with finding Master Lee, who seems to be one of the only people who can help him discover the cure for the children in the town. Go ahead.
I'm only a little ways into this book now, and I have to say, at first, I felt a little bit uncomfortable that we had selected it as a fantasy pick, because it just felt like a novel set, you know, like a historical novel, right? But as you if you get that impression when you start reading the first few pages, hold on, because it's going to get fantasy-like. Now, it's going to get fantasy-like in a very Chinese way. Not, you know, like lords and ladies sallying out of the castle to fight the dragon. But essentially the same thing, just not that medieval Europe feel. It's medieval China feel. And I love it. The longer I read, the more I love it. No. Oh, what's on your mind, Belmont?
I'm having some trouble. I'm having some trouble getting into it.
Are you going to hug heart this book?
I am not going to hug heart this book. I have not hug hearted or lent anything since we began the video show, because I feel some kind of now more important responsibility, I guess. Not that I don't take the podcast seriously, but I guess because we get kind of paid to do that show. So when, I feel before like it's we did, a job to read
it. Well, okay, there's that. The video show, though, is on a tight schedule, right? Where the audio show, before we did the audio show could just be like, oh, we're going to be done the book when Veronica's done with the book, right? So,
oh, great. Or, put it all
or
me. On me.
Or, no, no, I'm not trying to put it on. Or when I was there. Like when we both decided it was done, okay? And
sometimes
then when we started doing
months.
The video show, we had to, like, stick to a schedule. So I mean, that puts the pressure on you.
I'm working on it. I mean, there are some passages that are just so wonderfully and intricately written, it's hard not to appreciate it. But maybe I just haven't gotten far in enough. I'm 7% through the Kindle edition, which means I'm 7% through the entire trilogy.
Right, so you're much farther through the actual printed.
I would imagine. I'm not sure exactly how far I am. What is happening right now? Oh, am I allowed to say, or am I not allowed to say? Because it's technically a kickoff.
We didn't do spoilery stuff yet, so maybe hold on.
There is a potential wedding on the horizon.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
So, how far am I?
I don't know. You're farther than me.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, then I guess I'm all right.
Yeah, I think you're doing okay. I am making slow progress. I thought it was just because I was moving, but maybe it's. And I'm not enjoying the book. It's not like that. It's just that, yeah, this isn't a quick and easy read. This is a good, you know, tasty meal of a read.
So I'm hoping I get more into it. I think I will. I mean, there's been so many praises put upon this book that I feel like I have to, you know, I'll be getting something out of it. So I'm excited to keep going. I've just been busy and tired too as well. You know how I get at night. I mean, you don't personally know, but
no,
I talked about this on the show.
We discussed it, yeah.
I pass out the second I hit the pillow. So I'm going to have to figure that out a little bit.
All right. Well, I'll be interested to see where we are in 2 weeks, because we will both have to have finished the book to record the wrap-up episode of the video, which we do ahead of time.
Right. So I have to finish this by the 12th.
And then I'll be curious what, because the more I read, the more I like it. But
all
maybe
right, well, that, good. Yeah, and there's already a great discussion going on over on Goodreads. Lots of chit chat about the book. So head over there and start talking about it. Yeah, I just don't have that much to say about it right now because I just started it myself. You know why? Because the pick we did for Vaginal Fantasy last month, Outlander, was so long.
Oh, gosh.
It was so long.
So it was eating up all your reading time.
I started that book like 3 days before the month started. And I swear, I read every night. I read for entire weekends. And I was like, dear God, when is this book going to end? Oh, my God, I'm never going to have a chance to read anything else. I read the alternate pick in an afternoon.
No kidding?
Just to go show, like, just to show the difference
in
how long Outlander actually was. That was a meaty book.
I can only imagine.
Anyway, so hopefully that's not going to be the same this time around. So I'll have more time, but I've got a week basically to finish it now. So I gotta work at it. This has never happened before. I think that we've been so behind in a book pick.
Well, and there's no audiobook version. A lot of times I do the audiobook, and that makes it easier for me to just force myself because I just turn it on and do stuff. Mm-hmm. That's one of the advantage audiobook has over print or ebook. Mm-hmm. And this is not a part of a commercial anymore, is that you can know exactly how much time you need to allocate because you know how much time is left in that audiobook.
Totally.
It's better for planning.
All right. Well, we will definitely have more discussion on the video show coming up and also on the next audio podcast. So stay tuned. But let's head over to read some emails. We got an email from Sandy, who writes, "Hi, Tom and Veronica. I love your shows and the Goodreads group. On the podcast I listened to today, Tom said that he would like to pick a science fiction novel by a female author. Ursula K. Le Guin was mentioned, but I'd like to see something more contemporary. May I suggest God's War by Cameron Hurling? I started reading it, and it's something really different. It's kind of like Joe Abercrombie writing science fiction taking place on a planet with a female-dominated society. The primary sci-fi elements are genetic engineering and colonization of other planets. It's not an easy read, and it's very dark, but it seems pretty good. I've paused it because it's so intense, so I need an incentive to finish. Keep up the great work, Sandy."
That is awesome. And we're going to add her name to the list. We read that thread from last week, and there were lots of amazing authors added to that list. In fact, mm-hmm. there's a couple that I really can't wait to dive into. I'm trying to find these names here as well. But I will say that I had already, before I saw your email, Sandy, I'd already decided to do CJ Cherry Down Below Station, which is classic. Mm-hmm. And I chose that because this time we weren't doing a vote. It's up to me. And I wanted a really stellar classic effort. I didn't want to pick something where people would say, like, yeah, it's too modern or it's too weird. And that's the problem with the, you know, et cetera. I wanted to pick something that I was pretty confident in. And this is a very beloved novel by a lot of people. It often makes like best novels ever lists. So that's what we'll be reading next month.
But that's another great suggestion, Sandy. I will definitely be checking out Cameron Hurley. I'm not familiar with her work previously, but I do love Joe Abercrombie.
Jean S. wrote and said, "I saw this and immediately thought it would make a great news piece for you. It's a Kickstarter for Beyond Words, A Year of Daydreams, Fantasy Authors. I am behind on my YouTube episodes. If you have already covered this, please forgive me. I just saw it. I think Brandon Sanderson linked to it on his Twitter, and I thought it was awesome. Anyway, love your show and the podcast."
So this is great. This is a fantasy calendar. Lauren Zurchin, who is the creator, she is actually creating the costumes. She's setting up all the photo shoots, and the authors are helping with like deciding what they want to do for their shoot. And she's trying to raise $15,000. She's at $9,000 and $202 right now. I did this with Singularity & Co., which is to say, paid a lot of money for this project.
I really
wanted to succeed. I paid the amount. If you want to do the research, you can figure it out. It's really not that much. But I paid the amount that gets me the calendar, but each page of the calendar is signed by the author on that page.
Oh, I see how much you did.
So it's pretty awesome. But some of the authors that are participating, well, I guess we'll just read all of them. Holly Black, Gail Carriger, Cassandra Clare, Lauren Kate, Gregory McGuire, the Mary Sisters of Fate, who include Tessa Grattan, Maggie, I can't say her name, Stivetter. Mm-hmm. And Brenna Yovanoff, Brandon Mull, Lauren Oliver, Christopher Paolini, Patrick Rothfuss, Brandon Sanderson, and Tad Williams.
Great lineup.
Amazing lineup. And she did a great job on her introductory video, which I always appreciate. And so I think it's just a really cool like love letter to the fans. You know, if you're a fan of fantasy fiction and you want to like support that community and do something cool for that scene, I think this will be really fun. It kind of reminds me of Rothfuss's pinup calendar, the one that he's worked with for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Except the actual authors are in this calendar. So that's rad.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out which level I want to back at. Sorry. Wow.
Yes. So the at backing level, pledges. Go ahead.
You get a 30-minute Skype chat with Lauren Zurchin.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. If you, the most you can pay, the biggest one is $2,000. I did not get that one.
That's not the one you got.
No.
That's where you get to own time.
You get a photo session prize pack. Here's your chance to get fantasy photos like the authors. You'll get a Skype chat with me where we'll discuss your photo. She can't make your costumes, though, but we'll plan how to achieve a fantasy look. And then she'll come to you and do a one-hour photo shoot. You'll get all of the images, all the digital images, and you'll also get a calendar, the bookmarks, postcards, an 8x10 of the author of your choice. So lower 48 states only, unfortunately. But it's that's a pretty good prize, too. Pretty amazeballs.
Yeah, these are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got to do this in a minute. But that's it for this episode of Sword and Laser.
That is, yes.
We do. We will have news about the anthology submissions. I hope you all are working on your stories. Mm-hmm. March 1st is when we will start accepting submissions. But if Veronica and I are going to talk about it here, we may be able to put some guidelines, some more specific guidelines for you up. There's a thread going on in Goodreads where I answered a couple questions about things, but we want to get you some of those guidelines before the submission process totally opens so you can kind of get your affairs in order, if you will.
Your affairs in order. Yes, we've actually figured out some stuff, so lots to talk about going forward. If you want to get in touch with us, though, the email address is feedback@swordandlaser.com. The website is swordandlaser.com. All of our discussions, of course, happen on Goodreads. And if you want to call, the phone number is 415-7-SWORD-6. We'll see you guys next time.
Adios.